The following special edition episode is brought to you by Advantage Leadership, engaging employees and delighting customers to guarantee bottom line success. Now, let's get on with the show. Welcome to this special edition leadership series where you will learn the secrets of how today's business leaders construct and lead a business culture that engages both employees and customers and results in organizational growth. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Rebecca Staten-Reinstein. Good afternoon and welcome back to Intrepid Leadership. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friend and colleague, Rebecca Staten-Reinstein. Rebecca, you know, we are knee-deep into our series now, talking to some just really fascinating and intriguing business leaders who are just doing some amazing things with the culture, the internal culture to their organization. Today's conversation promises to be just as interesting.
I know. I'm really looking forward to it because I know you're going to have a grand time, and so are all our listeners getting to meet Ginger.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Let's get right to it. Say hello to our guest. Her name is Ginger Martin. She's the president and CEO of American National Bank. Ginger, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's exciting to be here.
We're excited to have you. Thanks for carving out some precious time to join us. Before we get into our conversation, let me just give you a quick chance to inform the audience a bit about you and your background.
I have been with American National Bank 17 years now, and I started off as their CFO and then became the chief COO, the chief operating officer. And then in January of 2008, I was named CEO. So it's been an exciting time here. It's been the best job that I've ever had.
Oh, that's great, Ginger. And, you know, let me ask you this. What led you into the world of community banking in the first place?
Well, you know, Rebecca, I started off my career as a CPA with Deloitte on the audit side in New Orleans, and I spent 4 years with them, and that was a great learning experience, getting exposed to a lot of different types of businesses and just learning some great analytical, you know, skills and working with some just top-notch, you know, people. And during that time, I really got solicited by a bank to go to work for them as their CFO. And so I decided that public accounting probably wasn't something that I wanted to do long term. And that's how I ended up in community banking and really have been there, you know, ever since. And I think the interesting thing that I really like about community banking, as opposed to maybe being with some larger institutions, is that a community bank, you know, you get to wear a lot of different hats. You really get that opportunity to get your hands completely around the bank instead of maybe being pigeonholed into a certain area of the bank. You really get to see how the entire banking industry works and how a bank, you know, runs being with a community bank. So it's been an exciting time.
Oh, wow. Todd, I think you have a question.
Yeah, no, I was just curious, Ginger. I mean, you've been within this organization for a fair amount of time now, and you've served in some very critical roles from CFO to COO to CEO and president. Does that give you an advantage? Because we're going to talk deeply about the culture at your bank and what makes it different and how you do that. Is there, because you've had such a strong length of time of really diving into the crevices of the organization, understanding every nuance to it, does that give you the advantage? Or is there also an advantage to coming into an organization fresh with a completely clean slate to look at?
Well, Todd, I think in my situation, because I've been with the institution as long as I have, I've got to see us grow and evolve. And when I first came here, I had no idea that I would eventually end up being, you know, president and CEO. And but as time, you know, went by, and I saw that was actually going to be a possibility as far as being part of the succession plan, you know, I started like looking at the bank and I started saying, hey, what is it that we do really well? What is it that I think that we could, you know, do better? And, you know, I worked with the previous CEO that hired me, you know, for 10 years before, you know, I became his successor. In fact, he's still on the bank's, you know, board of directors. And, you know, and I learned a lot from him and watching him. And I also, though, said, boy, I can't wait until I'm the head coach or the captain of the ship, because of being able to put my own fingerprints on the areas that I thought would really take us to that next level. And culture was that one, that thing that I was just really, you know, anxious to get more intentional, you know, about. So, you know, for me, I guess seeing, you know, knowing everything that I did and experiencing some good times and some challenging times with the bank, I really liked having that inside behind the scenes, knowing the players, knowing the different people that, because one thing that American National Bank has is we've got a lot of longevity in our staff. I've got team members that have, you know, been here 15, 16, 17 years like myself. I've got one employee that's been here over, you know, 25 years. So I liked feeling like I really knew the ins and outs of the bank and what maybe I saw as opportunities for us to capitalize on.
Wow, that's so interesting, Ginger. And, you know, you mentioned that you started off your CEO position in 2008. And I'm just wondering, you know, that's right when the financial crisis was hitting big time and so many banks failed, especially the smaller banks, because they had a harder time surviving all that. So how in the world did you do that? How did you bring American National through this crisis?
You know, Rebecca, that's a great question. And, you know, I look back on this. They actually named me president of the bank in March of 2007. But then, you know, it really wasn't, you know, totally, I wasn't CEO until January. And I remember in January, we had a strategic planning session. And this was my first time as CEO to be leading this strategic planning session. And we were really excited. And I'm going to tell you the other reason why I won't forget this is because it was actually my 50th birthday too. So I was celebrating my 50th birthday. You know, here I am, you know, now in this role as CEO of the bank, we're having the strategic planning. And in January of 2008, Rebecca and Todd, we didn't know what was on the horizon. I have to tell you, we were bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and we put together the strategic plan of all these things that we were going to do, and my entire, you know, bank team, you know, we're real excited. And so here I am, captain of the ship, and I did not know the storm that was coming out there. And, you know, and just from a statistic standpoint, you know, let me share this with you as far as Florida. And between 2008 and 2013, Florida lost 105 community banks, wow, either through closures or mergers or acquisitions. So when you say that recession was a tough time for community banks, you know, it absolutely was. But here's one of the things that we did, because it was really during this time that we were getting intentional about culture and really saying, you know, how are we going to show up in the world? You know, who are we? How are we going to distinguish ourselves? And one thing, and I remember us talking about this, we said, and we verbalized this often, that we were not going to choose to participate in this recession. And when I say that, it was a mindset. Was there a recession going on? You know, absolutely. Did us saying that change the reality? No, you know, it didn't. I mean, things were very tough and very hard. But what it did, it affected our behavior, because, you know, we said we're going to not retreat. We're not going to, you know, run and hide. The sky is falling and things are terrible. You know, we're going to figure out how to, you know, get through this, take care of our customers, you know, partner with our customers, you know, for success, and just show up, you know, differently. And that all had to do with this determining, you know, what our culture was going to be, like our vision and our values, and making that commitment to just stick with them no matter, you know, what happened. And, you know, fortunately, during that entire recession, the bank was profitable every year. Now, we made less money than we had in the past, but we never, we never got into that loss situation. And of course, never really were threatened, you know, by, you know, failure. And I do just think a lot of it, I credit it to, you know, that culture. You know, like sometimes, you know, people, I think that culture is like this touchy-feely, intangible. And I really think that it's much more powerful than what sometimes people want to give it, you know, credit for. And I think that we lived it and we know it. And my team, you know, would say the same thing. And look, and there was a lot of hard work. But the other thing that we were very fortunate is that we never laid anybody off. We never, you know, reduced, you know, salaries or benefits. I mean, yes, did we have a salary freeze? You know, yes, did we, you know, work, you know, maybe longer hours? But it just was a determination. And I do think it goes back to we had alignment, that really our culture, because we'd really thought about our culture and our values beforehand, that when the storm came, you know, we had that tenacity.
You know, Ginger, I tell you what I'm going to do, Rebecca, is from now on, when I'm talking to an executive team of an organization and they sit there and they whine about the exterior environment, how it's impacting their ability to go to market, I'm going to make them listen to this conversation, because what the lesson I'm learning here, Ginger, is that you have control over this. So yeah, the economy obviously has an impact, no doubt about it. And you cited a couple of things that it did have an impact on you, but that didn't dictate the direction you took and the plans that you made and the culture that you built. And frankly, it's another example of times of struggle are oftentimes the best time to reconfigure your organization and to make some adjustments to your culture. Do you agree? I mean, it's a time to become innovative. It's a time to think differently. I mean, it's almost a good opportunity for an organization to really tighten up, yeah?
Yes, absolutely. Because, you know, I think about, you know, sometimes when things are toughest, you know, we do have that opportunity to choose, you know, our attitude. I mean, we might not be able to choose the circumstance and the situation, but it's like, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to say, oh, there's nothing to be done? Or are we going to be able to say, hey, we need to figure out what we can do? So, and so I do think that just kind of facing it head on instead of running and retreating and being fearful made a difference, you know, for us. But it wasn't that it was any easier. Again, we just determined we're going to fight and we're going to press on and we're going to figure out what we can do instead of focusing on what we can't do. So it really made a difference for us.
All right. Ginger Martin will return after this quick break. We'll be right back.
People know leadership and creating a culture are critical factors for a successful organization. Not every executive can bring these factors to life. Dr. Rebecca Staten-Reinstein, president of Advantage Leadership, works with companies from around the world who want to engage employees and delight customers to guarantee bottom-line success. She has already documented the winning formula for strategic leadership in Success Planning, a how-to guide for strategic planning, and Conventional Wisdom, How Today's Leaders Plan, Perform, and Progress Like the Founding Fathers. To learn more, visit AdvantageLeadership.com. That's AdvantageLeadership.com.
All right, we're back with Ginger Martin, President and CEO of American National Bank.
Ginger, I'm so glad that you are talking to us today and telling us about this, and especially that focus on culture. And I want to dive into that a little bit more, because I know that the very first time I walked into your bank, I knew I was in a very different kind of atmosphere than most banks that I have walked into over the course of my life. And it was warm and inviting, but there seemed to be a lot more to it than that. So tell me what you've done to build this very welcoming type of culture. And as we were talking about before the break, this kind of culture that was able to pull together and survive the storm.
Well, you know, Rebecca, I think if I go back to one thing is that it's our vision. And our vision at American National Bank is that every customer says they're the bank's most important customer. And so if I break that down, for somebody to say they're important, they've got to feel like they're important. And for them to feel like they're important, then we need to be doing certain things and delivering banking in a way that that's exactly what they do is to feel important. And I use a story, you know, a lot with my team, and it's Starbucks. I use Starbucks as an example. You know, people who are going to go pay $4 for a cup of coffee, you know, they're not maybe just necessarily, honestly, I'm a Dunkin' Donut fan, not a Starbucks fan when it just comes to the coffee taste, but Starbucks has built an atmosphere, you know, an experience, you know, where people want to, you know, be there. And that's what we've kind of said that we want to do, you know, here, you know, at the bank, that we want to stand out. And it's not, you know, everybody wants to say, oh, we've got good customer service and we've got, you know, personal service. But truly, banking at the end of the day is a commodity. So we've got to definitely do something, you know, greater and beyond. And that is, you know, I think, and I have to attribute so much of this too to the people that we hire. And you know what? We do hire based on our values. We coach based on our values. You know, we sometimes free up people's future based on them not aligning, you know, with our values. But it's just that, you know, I'll never forget, I love this. One of our customers told me, you know what, when I come in this bank, I feel like a rock star. And man, I love that. And that's what we really want to be, you know, delivering. I mean, more of that wow. And the thing too, banking is a people business. And, you know, we want people to really get that message that we want to make banking easier for them and that we really want them it to be enjoyable, that they don't dread coming to the bank, that they want to come to the bank. And that all, it goes all back to the culture, that mission, the values, the reinforcement that we have of the bank's culture.
Ginger, two quick follow-up comments. One, I agree, Dunkin' is better coffee. Two, look, I've never walked out of my bank and felt like a rock star. And it's to piggyback on what Rebecca said, I mean, yeah, you have a certain expectation of what a bank should be, what it should look like, what it should smell like, what the kind of personalities you see in there, and you when you walk into one and you meet your expectation, well, fine. But then it sounds like you walk into your bank and it's an entirely different experience, and people feel like rock stars. Why are executive teams, and I'm not just talking in banking, in any business, in any industry, in any vertical, why are so many executive teams so afraid to break these societal expectations of what the business is supposed to look like and supposed to feel like? Why are we in a business culture where people are so afraid to make a little bit of a change and change it up and change the experience?
You know, I mean, maybe, Todd, they just are taking themselves way too serious. And it's that whole, you know, being reluctant to, you know, get out of that box or, you know, to act different or whereas by the atmosphere that we've created here at the bank, you know, our customers, you know, having a little bit of fun. I mean, we are not stuffed shirt, stodgy, you know, type bankers, yet we are professional. And I just think that, you know, people get stuck in a rut. And to break out of that does take energy. One of the things I have to tell you, when we started on this cultural transformation, because, I mean, we did have a specific journey. And believe me, it took a lot of time and effort. And I know that I had people in this bank that said, oh, this too shall pass. You know, is this going to be the latest, you know, flavor of the month? And you know, they're going to, you know, get over this. And I think that that's too where it comes from, really from the top, from the CEO and the executive management, of making that determination of the type of culture you want to have, you know, what you want to be known for, you know, what you, that whole atmosphere sense, you know, how people, you know, show up in the world. I mean, it really is how we choose to, you know, to be. And I go back to that thing too, Todd and Rebecca. I still think that even though there's been so much written and talked about on culture, there are just some businesses that don't want to take it for seriously. They don't. And yet there's so much power in, you know, in culture. And, you know, I heard this from somebody else. I can't take credit for this. But they said, you know, not having a culture is a culture. And so maybe it's not wanting to do the work. Maybe it's not believing in it. Maybe it's not seeing the value. And then the fact that, you know, it's hard. But I think that they're missing an opportunity. And yet, I have to tell you, I belong to a CEO, like kind of think tank, you know, group. It's called Vistage. And I have some CEOs who really haven't thought about culture. And so I do think there's a missed opportunity.
That's so true. And I'm glad you brought that up, Ginger. And just maybe one more thought here. I first met you at the Commonwealth Institute. And I know that you've been very involved in that. Can you share a little bit about your involvement with the Institute? And it's made up, of course, of very dynamic women business leaders of all sorts. What are the mutual benefits? And why should a leader such as yourself be involved in that or any other type of group?
You know what? I have this personal, you know, philosophy of how I operate, and the fact that I believe that what we read, what we watch, what we listen to, and who we hang out with are going to have a huge impact on our own success and personal development. So when it comes to, you know, TCI, you know, being around other dynamic, you know, women, you know, leaders that are really wanting to grow their businesses, you know, wanting to grow themselves, those are the type of people, you know, I want to be hanging out with. So I think that that is definitely that mutual, you know, benefit. And I tell you, you know, one of my, you know, my favorite sayings is that iron sharpens iron. And so I want to be around, you know, other people who have that desire to be the best leaders, you know, the best entrepreneurs, the best, you know, business people, the best influencers. And so I think when you're around an organization like TCI, that is kind of really their goal, is to bring, you know, women to, you know, together like that and provide opportunities for networking and education, that it's a great way, you know, for growth.
Well, iron sharpens iron. You know, Rebecca, that's why you and I are hosting this series, so we can hang out with people like Ginger and sharpen our tool sets. And I'm just blown away, Ginger. I mean, you mentioned that this organization that you're also a member of, where there's still CEOs there that aren't thinking about culture. It's hard for me to believe that in the 21st century, there are executive teams that aren't focused on that. I guess we have a lot more work to do, and that's why Rebecca and I will continue to do what we're doing here with this show. Ginger, I'm so grateful for your time, but we are out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you and learn more about American National Bank?
Well, our website is www.americannationalbank.com. So I would encourage people to go and take a look. And I think even by seeing our website and our involvement in the community, and just, you know, it'll give a better picture of our personality as a bank. So I'd invite them to do that. My contact information is on there, so I'm more than willing to, you know, to talk to anybody if they wanted to, you know, give me a phone call or email me, either one.
All right. Ginger Martin, the president and CEO of American National Bank. Ginger, it was a real pleasure. Thanks for stopping by and joining us.
Thanks, Todd and Rebecca.
And I'll remember to show up with the right brand of coffee next time.
I'm having a Dunkin' iced coffee right now.
Outstanding. Yeah, and we have no fear of talking about our favorites on this show. All right, well, that wraps this episode. On behalf of our guest, Ginger Martin, my co-host, Rebecca Staten-Reinstein, I'm Todd Schnick. We'll see you soon on Intrepid Leadership.